introduction. And this paper is a joint work with Wen Han Dai, a visiting student from Tsinghua University, and Yi Gai and Bhaskar Krishnamachari from USC. So first, the problem we are considering is dynamic spectrum access and the unknown model. And this illustrates the system we are looking at. There are n independent channels allocated to a primary system that's using a slotted transmission structure. And for a secondary user, the objective here is to find the idle slots and the limited sensing. So essentially, at any given slot, a secondary user can only choose k channels to sense. And if the channel is idle, it will transmit. And if you catch one idle slot, you will receive one unit reward. That essentially is you get one packet delivered. And the problem here is, how do we choose which k channels we should sense at the beginning of each slot, based on the observation we have so far? And to answer this question, the first thing we need to specify is the model of channel occupancy. So if we look at each channel, so each channel is essentially busy idle is a stochastic process. And each channel is modeled as a stochastic process with unknown parameters. So we do know what kind of stochastic process we're dealing with, but the parameters are unknown. So the simplest stochastic process we can be having here would be an IID process. So the channel occupancy for channel I will be IID Bernoulli with unknown mean theta I. So theta I essentially is the probability channel I is idle in any given slot. And it's changing IID over time. And now we want to choose, without knowing which channel is more likely to give us an idle slot, just imagining flipping coins with unknown bias and you want to get as many heads as possible. So now how do we choose channels, k out of n at the beginning of every slot, and the objective is to maximize our throughput. So what is the maximum throughput we can get? Even assume we know the perfect parameters, we know all the theta i's. In that scenario, we know we should always sense the channel with the largest theta I, with the maximum probability to be idle. And in that case, our throughput we will get is just theta I, because every idle slot we get one unit reward. Then now, without knowing all the theta I's, is it possible to achieve the same maximum throughput defined by the known model scenario? And if yes, how to do that? So it turns out this is actually a well-studied problem if we take IID model. This is essentially a special case of multi-arm bandit problem. And the region problem we can explain using this slot machine with an independent arms. And at each time we can only select one arm to play, but we don't know the reward statistics of the arms. And the reward process assumed IID. And we want to maximize long-term reward. And the essence of this problem is in the trade-off between exploitation and exploration. So intuitively, we want to play an arm that has the largest sample mean based on what we have observed so far. But at the same time, we have to play each arm sufficient number of times so that our sample mean is close enough to the true mean. So that's essentially the original problem. And it can be rigorously formulated in the following way. Theta 1 to theta n is the reward mean of each arm, which is unknown to us. And the maximum reward we can get over a horizon of length t, if theta is known, is given by the maximum theta. I use subscript 1 here to indicate the extreme order here. So theta 1 is the largest one, multiplied by t, which is achieved by always playing the best arm. Very intuitive. So now if we don't know the theta, we don't know which one is the best arm, we can design a policy pi that tells us which arm to play based on what we have observed so far. And this is the reward we can get for a given policy pi. And how do we know how good this policy is? It's measured by the difference to this ideal scenario where you do know the model. So this is called the regret, also called the cost of learning. That's the cost we paid for not knowing the model. And very intuitive, this every time we spend time on a bad arm, that's not the best one, we will incur a loss of theta 1 minus theta I if we are spending time on the I's best arm. So multiply by the expected time we we are playing ARM, the iSpice ARM. So to minimize regret, we want to minimize the amount of time we spend on each bad ARM. And the objective here is to minimize the growth rate of the regret with time t. It's intuitive. Regret will always grow with time because we can never stop playing each ARM to make sure our sample mean is accurate enough. And we can also see if we have a sublinear growth of regret with time t, then we can achieve the maximum average reward of the best ARM defined by the known model scenario, because if you divide by t, since this is sublinear, it will diminish. And the result, the problem is nicely solved by Lai and Robbins in 85. They show that the minimum regret growth rate is log with time t. They also found the best leading constant given in terms of KL divergence. And they also constructed a policy to achieve this best regret growth rate. But it was a rather complicated policy. And about 10 to 15 years later, there are simple policies to achieve log regret. This is essentially an index type of policy based on sample means. One of the most well-known one is proposed by Aura, is the so-called UCB1 policy. So in this case, we will compute an index for each arm at each time t. The index is simply the sample mean of this arm, plus this term is called the confidence upper bound. This term is given by square root 2 of log t divided by ti. Ti is the number of times we have played arm I up to now, up to current time. So you can see if we are playing arm I significantly less than log t, this term will blow up. It will make the index the largest. Then we will have to play. So the policy is always play the arm with the largest index. So essentially, we are forcing the policy to at least spend log t time on each arm, which that's what Lai and Robin has shown. That's what we have to do. So if we're taking an IID model for our channel occupancy, the problem is completely solved. It's just a special case of the classic multi-unbounded problem. So if we consider more general, more complex model, let's say each channel is a Markov chain, two state, busy idle. It changed according to this transition diagram here. And we don't know the transition probabilities. We don't know P01, P11s. But all the channels are stochastic identical. They have the same transition probabilities. Now, how do we design channel selection policy to maximize the throughput? So it turns out this is a variation of the classic multi-unbounded problem, but has never been solved. So we are essentially among the first to address this multi-unbounded problem and the Markov model. And what are the challenges here? So first here, we can see if we have a Markov model for each channel, then the optimal policy, even if we know the transition probability, is no longer staying on one channel. We need to switch across channels based on our prediction on which channel is more likely to be idle at this specific slot because of the channel memory makes prediction possible. So then in this case, we can not simply minimize our regret by bounding the time we spend on a bad channel because there's no really bad channel per se. We need to switch to a smart way of how to switching among channels. So essentially, we're trying to learn what is the best way to switching among channels based on our observations. And in general, there are infinite possibilities of how to do the switching. So how do we learn from this infinite possibility? Which one is the best? So that's really the difficult part, and perhaps the reason that this problem has not been addressed in the literature. So actually, it turns out, if we do know the transition probabilities, itself, this problem itself is complex enough. This is essentially the restless multi-unbounded problem under known dynamics formulated by Witte in 1988. And this problem, in general, is p-space hard, as shown by Papadimitriou and Tsitsikalis. But the good thing here is we have a special restless bounded. The thing we are dealing with here is only a two-state Markov chain at each channel. And we have shown under known model, the optimal policy is a simple myopic policy. And this is earlier work we have done with a couple of collaborators. So the optimality is currently under certain conditions. So if we have P11 greater than P01, which means it's a lazy chain, it's more likely to stay rather than changing state, then the optimality is generally true. But in the other case, if P1 is smaller than P01, so far we can only show for two or three channels, and all k equal to n minus 1. But we can, it's conjectured this holds for all n, for infinite horizon case, we haven't been able to prove that. So, but let's assume we can, the conjecture is true, then we know under known model, myopic policy is the optimal policy. And more significant to this unknown model problem is that myopic policy has a simple semi-universal structure. So which means all we need to know is what if P11 is greater than P01, we always switch in this way. As we stay at an idle channel, if this channel we're currently sensing is idle, we will stay with it. If it becomes busy, then we switch to the channel visited the longest time ago. That's our way of switching. And if P11 is smaller than P01, then we switch in a different way. We actually stay if the channel is busy, and we switch if it becomes idle. We grab one reward, then we go to somewhere else. And how do we switch? We switch to the channel most recently visited among all channels visited an even number of slots ago. If there are no such channel, then we switch to the channel visited longest time ago. But anyway, there are essentially all this says is the optimal way of switching among channels only takes two possible forms, depending on the transition probabilities. So that really makes the unknown problem significantly simpler to solve. Instead of searching among infinite possible ways of how to switch among channels, we know there are only two possible ways if we don't know P01, P11. It's either this way or that way. Then we can formulate a sort of conceptual multi-arm bandit problem. So we treat each way of channel switching as an arm. So if you really consider what is the arm in multi-arm bandit problem, it's nothing but a choice, a possible option we can have, and we don't know which option is the best. That's exactly what we have here. So then now we learn which arm is a good arm. We only have two arms, two ways of switching, so we want to learn which one is the good one because we don't know the transition probability, so we don't know which one to choose. So it seems we just reduce the problem to the classic multi-arm bandit problem, but it's not that easy. There are two challenges we have to address. The first one, the question we have to answer is how long to play each arm? So originally we just play once, we get some reward for the classic model, but now an arm is a one way of switching among channels. So we have to follow that way of switching among channels long enough in order to see its effect. So how long should we play? And turns out the optimal length of following each way, this L star, depends on the transition probabilities, unfortunately, and that's something we don't know. So that's one thing we have to address. And the other way is the reward in this case are no longer RID in time, not even independent or RID across arms, because each arm is only a way of switching among channels, and they are all switching among the same set of n channels. So they are no longer independent or identical. So to address these two challenges, that's our solution here. So first, how long to play each arm? The optimal length of playing each arm or following each way of channel switching depends on the parameters, unknown parameters. So to get around with that, the trick we have here is we play each arm with increasing length. So we do not fix a specific length for playing each arm, but rather choose a sequence that grows with time. And we will pay certain price in terms of regret, but we can choose the increasing rate of this sequence arbitrarily slow, say log, 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 log t, and the price we pay will be arbitrarily small. The other thing to deal with non-RID samples, what we did is we proved a modified Chernoff-Hofding bound, which essentially is the key for proving log regret in the classic RID bandit model. So the Chernoff-Hofding bound essentially, original condition is all the conditional expectations should have the same mean. So the conditional expectation should be the same mu. And then we can bound the probability that the sample mean is too far from the true mean. And in this case, because we don't have identical reward sample anymore, so we need to modify that because the conditional expectations are no longer the same. But we can get a similar result if the conditional expectations are within a certain range of each other. So then we can use similar techniques to prove the result. And what we have shown here is we can achieve arbitrarily close to log order, for the regret. Essentially, in front of log, we don't have a constant anymore. It's again, an increasing sequence. But this sequence can be arbitrarily slow as you want. So you choose how slow you want, how close you want to get log t, and based on that, we can choose the increasing length for each arm play, the ln. So I will skip the details on the relation between gt and lt. It's actually very simple. It's just showing at each time what is the current L we are using. And that's it. I will just conclude this paper here. So what we have considered, although the problem was motivated by dynamic spectrum access, we believe this general approach would be useful for solving other restless banded problem, or even a general Markov decision process with unknown parameters. So what is the message here? The message here is, if we are dealing with a restless multi-arm banded problem with unknown dynamics, and we want to achieve the same average reward as we can get under known models. So in general, the problem is intractable, but the problem may have a hope if, under the known model, the optimal policy has what we call the finite option property. That means there are only finite ways of finding the optimal policy only has finite possible forms depending on the parameters. Then we treat each possible form as an arm when we don't know the parameters. Then we try to learn which one is actually true one for the underlying unknown parameters. So that's the general message. But of course, for each specific problem, we have to again show whether log or arbitrary close to log regret can be achieved. And in the context of dynamic spectrum access, that's what we have been focusing on. The problem is really possible because of the semi-universal structure of the myopic policy for the known model case. And a little bit advertisement, I will be giving another talk on related problem in about 40 minutes, because this one, we can only solve for very special cases where you have only two-state Markov chain and all the channels, all the arms are stochastic identical. So what if we are dealing with a general finite state Markov chain without knowing the transition probabilities? What can we do there? So this paper actually is addressing this completely general model, but we can also achieve log regret, but the definition of the regret is weaker. So I will leave it here. If I still have...
We have time for one question, so there is any question from the stage. Anantra.
Yes, so that's essentially here. Did I go too far? Yes, here. So the regret we get is this GT log T, right? So we want GT to grow very slow with time T. And so if you want to achieve, say, log T for GT, then essentially this sequence, this is just the number of what is the value of L for the current time. So L1 is, when we start, we play one arm L1 slots. So then for the first L1 slots, this sequence will have the same value L1. For the next, our arm will be L2. We play L2 times. So for the next L2 slots, the value will be L2. So L is increasing. So this sequence will be also be increasing, but even slower, because it's repeating the same value many times. Yeah.
Okay, we are running out of time, so just a very quick question.
It's very close to a slot of Aloha scheme. Did you try to relate to the approach of Aloha?
I fail to see the connection with slotted Aloha. But this is really trying to learn, trying to maximize the throughput and the unknown parameters. But Aloha is more like avoiding collision with your peer users. Here, we even only have one secondary user. I probably miss the connection. I don't really see why the two problems are related. Maybe we can talk more after.
You can continue afterwards the session. So let's thanks the speaker.